Well, good morning. It's a great getting up morning. Well, I wasn't supposed to be here today. I had planned on being somewhere else on vacation. And then I looked at my calendar and realized, wow, I am supposed to be here. And so I'm just going to act like I'm on vacation. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to move and just remove some of the labor and the toil that we would have out of our own flesh to try to make things happen. That'd be all right? It is great to be here. We do count it a privilege and an honor. And we love your pastor, his wife, his family, and appreciate so much of what they've been able to do by ministering to us and allowing us to come. And I was speaking with him earlier this year and was sharing with him some things that had happened to me recently. And so he said, boy, I'd really like to have you come and share about that. But before we do, I'd like you to grab your Bible. If you're able to stand with me this morning. We're going to make a proclamation. If it's uncomfortable for you to stand, then we'll get you healed, and that won't be a problem. Amen. Praise God. I'd like you to repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is the will of God for my life, and I believe it. I'll stand upon His promises. I'll follow its instructions and receive its blessings. It's truth from deception, light in my darkness, and my sword in the battle. If you believe that, give the Lord a big shout. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, I'd like you to open your Holy Ghost Owner's Manual to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We're going to start there in just a moment. Have you ever found in life that you just seem to get through one trial or one storm or one difficult situation, and then right on top of that seems to be another thing? It just seems like trouble loves company, and it comes in threes sometimes. And maybe you feel like you've been in a boxing ring, and you just keep being hit and keep being beat on, and it just seems as though there's no relief, and you don't understand why that is. Well, I want to tell you this morning that not all your trouble is your own making. And I want to talk to you about being in a war that you didn't start. And so I'd like you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read out of the Living Bible, beginning in verse 10. It says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks, and when it is all over, you will be standing up. Can you say amen? I know so many good people and godly people and ministers and others right now that seem to be going under severe attack. They seem to be in battles and struggles and things that they have to ask themselves, why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? And I don't know about you, but that seems to be one of the first and foremost questions that always rises up within my spirit when I'm going through something. It's like, why is this going on? Did I do something to precipitate this? But I feel as though that in America that we have watched over the last decade or so, an influence of evil, if I could say it this way, I believe that we have an alien invasion. I believe that the Bible says that the devil, knowing that his time is short, he's come down upon the earth with great wrath. And I believe that we are seeing demonic assault like never before, and on God's people and godly people and upon ministers. I know I have a great friend of mine that he's loved the Lord all his life. He's a board member. He's been in the church as long as I know him. And his daughter is going through literal hell. 21 months of this very evasive and erratic cancer that's eating away at her body. She has four children. She's only about 30 years of age. She's in Mount Zion or in Zion, Illinois right now, trying to get special treatment. But the list goes on and on and on of people that they just seem to be under a barrage, you know, being hit and hit and hit and hit. And I'm telling you, the enemy is after God's people. There are people here this morning, you need to understand, one of the reasons that the enemy is after you and one of the reasons why you're having so much difficulty in life is it's not simply because of something you've done. My God, if we were the reason that we were having all the problems, then we should just lay down and quit then, right? I mean, it's like, if I'm the one that's causing all this, I must be a very bad person. But I don't believe that that's the case at all this morning. I believe there's good people and godly people and people here this morning that you don't warrant what's going on, but yet it's still going on. And you're saying, my God, I've got to have relief. The pressure is too great. I can't stand another hit. I can't have another attack. I feel like I'm going to crumble. And I'm going to tell you that something happened to me last year that almost claimed my life. In June of last year, we were putting a new septic system in our home. We had struggled for many years with our septic system. We live in the country, and it just wasn't working well, and we were constantly having to have maintenance done on it. We couldn't take showers when we wanted to. We couldn't put the wash water through the system, and the list went on and on. And so finally, I said, all right, we've got to put a system in. So we had some guys out there digging. In the 1st of June, my lawn looked like World War II. I mean, it's like I enjoy mowing the lawn. I enjoy getting out, and I try to get those dandelions and weeds out and try to make it look nice. And man, here they come with the excavating equipment. And it looked like anything but nice. And so I was out there helping them. I was jumping down in the trenches, helping them get the pipes lined up and digging things out and doing different things. And I just wasn't feeling that well. And my wife happened to come home early from work that day, which she never does. And by the time she got home from work, I said, man, I'm really not feeling good. And I said, I think you better take me to the emergency. By the time I got to the emergency, my body was shaking uncontrollably. I didn't know what was going on, but it felt like all hell was breaking loose. Can I get a witness? Anyone ever been there? Now listen to me. It's not simply that you have genetic deficiencies. It's not simply that you've come in contact with something. It's not simply that you have bad habits. There's more going on in the world than what you know. And that's why I read the text out of Ephesians chapter 6. We're in a battle zone. In the end times, the enemy is going to try to take ground, but you've got to stand, having done all to stand, knowing this, that my Redeemer liveth, and if God be for me, who can stand against me? And I'm more than a conqueror, and I'm more than able, and whatever hell wants to vomit up, I will stand against it, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know what it likes to be under attack. I know what it likes to scratch your head and to ask, why is this going on? And friend, this was all happening in June of 2016. I got to the emergency. My body was shaking uncontrollably. They called in a surgeon at 11 o'clock at night, and he came and he told my wife, and I remember the conversation just before they put me under. He said, Mrs. Farmer, your husband's a very sick man. And had he been a younger man or an older man or a man out of shape, he probably won't make it. But because your husband's in good shape, I think he'll pull through. So what had happened is I was severely dehydrated. I had urinary tract infection. I had a kidney stone twice the size of what you could pass. I had a sac of infection inside my kidney. I had become sepsis, and the Center for Disease Control came in with one of their agents and told my wife I had over 20 different infectious strains within my body. My white blood cell count was non-existent. It didn't look good for the home team. But I'm going to tell you, Pastor, God must have had a plan, because He wanted me to come and tell somebody this morning that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't allow the enemy to tell you this morning that it's over with, because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You're going to make it, my friend. You're going to pull through whatever this difficult situation and whatever this trial is. You might feel as though that you're in the boxing match. You might feel as though that you're in the fire, but I've got good gospel news. If you're in the fire, there's a fourth man standing in the flame with you. Yeah, come on. And the thing that caused you to go in the fire will be the very thing that God burns off from you. The Bible says that you can come out of adversity not even with the smell of smoke upon you. Not even a residue of the trial. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, what was interesting, and I told your pastor this, he said, man, you got to share this. This happened in June 4th of last year. But God had set things up for me. In January, I started having visitations from the Lord in a special way like I'd never had before. In January, I had a dream. I had several. And I don't dream a lot, and I don't claim to have spiritual dreams and visions, but I'm going to tell you, God wanted me to know something about my future. And in this dream, I just simply woke up. And as soon as I woke up out of the dream, I seen that God had girded me with a white silver protective garment. I mean, I instantly seen it. The second dream that I had, within the same week, three things God showed me. The second dream was that He showed me an agent of Satan. He used a physical embodiment for me to see an actual person that was holding a golden instrument that was meant to be a device of death. And this demonic being spoke to me in the dream and said, what I did to you should have killed you. Now remember, I'm not going to go in the hospital for 5 months yet. And God's telling me that there's agents on assignment against me, and that the devices that they were using, the person, the being said, this should have killed you. But with the tenacity of God's Spirit inside of me, I didn't know why. I turned and I looked at the individual and I said, but it didn't. Now remember, I hadn't even been in the hospital yet, but God had put it in my spirit that the righteous are as bold as a lion, and that you don't have to fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God says in the last days He'll pour out His spirit upon all flesh, and His young men will dream dreams, and His old men will have visions. I guess, Pastor, I'm still a young man because I'm having some dreams. Glory to God. Hey, if you can have a dream at 60, you're a young person still. Glory. Hallelujah. But I turned to that individual and I said, what you tried to do didn't have the power or the ability. God, let me live. God, let me live. God, let me live. And then in that same week, I woke up out of a dead sleep, and out of my mouth I said, thank God for my miracle. And friend, I just continued to confess that, because the power of death and life are in our tongue. The miracle is in your mouth. And if you get your mouth to line up with the Word of God, what can your God do, right? What can your God do? And so I continued to confess. Thank God for my miracle. I didn't even know what the miracle was. And I'm still confessing today, thank God for my miracle, because I believe it's exponential. I believe it's not one miracle, but it's multiplicity of miracles. Because God gives you one miracle. Listen, that's the breeding ground or the foundation for more miracles to come. Get ready. Because if God does something in your life, it's not simply for you. He wasn't just saving me for me. He was saving me for you. God wanted me to come here today and say it's going to be all right. You can lay your head down and rest, and you can lay your head down and sleep and rest in peace at night and not worry about what's going on. Doesn't your Bible say He'll keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed upon Him? Is that what your Bible says? So God gave me another miracle, Pastor. You love this one. So I didn't have money for a new septic system, but I had to have it done. So that's called faith. You know, you're stepping out and you're doing something even if you don't have the wherewithal to do it, right? Well, when I got home after spending about 3 or 4 days in ICU and all this different stuff, I couldn't do a thing. I mean, I was laid up for a while. And I just simply sent out an email to all my partners and friends just saying, I'm sorry, I cannot fulfill any of my obligations. You know, I'm just, this is how things are. And you know what your God did? Your God put it on the heart of several different people who were not related, who hadn't talked to me, that didn't attend our church, and they all sent me money. And you know the amazing thing was, it was such an odd amount. And one person would send some, and another person would send some, and another person would send some. But somehow, all those different sums totaled up exactly to the amount of my new septic system. Come on, give God a shout of praise. What can't your God do? Go with me to Luke chapter 8, if you would. My wife's told me, she said, you make sure you tell them about the miracle of the money. I'm going, okay, honey. Now I got that done. Got that docket, that check mark there. I can go back and say, I did what you wanted me to do. She'd love to be here, and we thought we would be, but we had a special speaker coming so that we could be gone today, and that person had a problem. So all of a sudden, when we both thought that we had the day off, we both had to preach. But aren't you glad I'm here? Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is here? Aren't you glad God's in control? Say it with me. God is in control. He's never lost control. I mean, He's not up there folding His hands, scratching His head, and walking back and forth and pacing the floor and saying, now, what am I going to do about your situation? It has not caught Him by surprise, friend. Thank God that He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He can do all things. He's in all places at once. He's omnipresent. He's an awesome God. And don't you ever forget that in the midst of the mess that you're going through, God's character has not changed because of what's going on in your life. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me read to you out of Luke chapter 8. And let me say this again. You were born into a war that you didn't start. You were born into a war that you didn't start. You will recall, friend, that the Bible says that there was a war in heaven. And God says, I'll have none of it. And so He put the devil out and his angels. And where did they go? To the earth. And so we constantly have this situation going on where there are entities and there are powers and there are principalities and there are beings that do not want you to prosper. You have become marked. You are a high value target if you name the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You should, you know, I know this sounds a little bit crazy, but I think sometimes we just need to rejoice over the fact that we're being hit on because it says we've got something of value. Look with me at Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. It says, the sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. Say, I'm good ground. He says, he that hath ears, let him hear what he has to say. How many know that's not an anatomical question? He's saying, if spiritually you can discern this, get the meaning. And he goes on, look with me at verse 10. He explains what this is all about. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto you, say unto me, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts. Do you know that the most recent poll that I can find about church people, that the majority of church people now no longer believe that there's a real devil? They no longer believe that there's a real virgin birth. It's just something. It's a metaphor, or it's an allegory, or it's some type of analogy to give us spiritual principles, but it's not real. Can I tell you, that's why most people have already been given over to the dark side, is because they don't even believe it exists. And if you don't believe he exists, he's already got a hook in you. Don't blame all your problems on natural circumstances, because it's not all natural. Remember the woman that came to Jesus? The Bible says she was oppressed of the devil, and she was bent over because of the oppression. Now, if Jesus said there's a devil, how many know we should believe him? Right? And if the devil came to tempt Jesus, how many know that Jesus wasn't just making things up and he hadn't ate something funny that gave him some weird illusions or hallucinations? Jesus encountered a real devil. The Bible said in Luke chapter 4 that Satan took him out into the wilderness and he was tempted there of him for 40 days. That's a real devil. There are real spirits, friend, that want what you have. They want to eat your lunch. Jesus said this. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which while for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares of this life, the riches of this life, and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But, everybody say but. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word and keep it, say keep it, bring it forth fruit with patience. I find that the greatest times of assault in a person's life is when they're about to hear something from God, or when they've just received something from God, or when they've got something to share from God. Think about it. How many times have you run into a difficult situation or trouble when you're about to open your Bible? The phone ring, the kid blew up. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, all pandemonium breaks loose because you were going to spend time in the Word and in prayer. Has that ever happened to anyone other than me, or am I the only one that... Come on. I mean... You know, this story illustrates that the three greatest times that you're going to have difficulty is one, you're about to receive the word. How many had trouble getting to church this morning? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. Come on. I had to stop this morning. I sent a text to pastor saying I'm having vehicle issues. I had a warning light flash up on my truck this morning. I'm going, what meaneth this? I'm going, I know what meaneth this. The enemy does not want me to come and share good news because he wants you to believe the bad news. But the good news is the bad news is wrong. I'm going to say it again. The good news is the bad news is wrong. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. What does the report of the Lord say, brother? It says I'm saved. It says I'm healed. It says I prosper. It says I'm delivered. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that my family's not going to hell, that I'm not going to lose my house, that my wife's not going to walk away from me, that my kids are going to grow up and serve the Lord. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that says He is Jehovah Shammah, my peace. I'm going to believe God's word above all other circumstances, things, feelings, and emotions. We're going to put the word of God at the utmost priority in our lives. The greatest time of attack seems to be, and you don't even know this, when you're about to receive something from God. But the enemy can sense the presence of the Spirit of God and the angelic host drawing near to you because they're about to deliver something, bring you a package. The other greatest time of attack seems to be when you've received a word from the Lord. Look what this text says. Jesus says that those having heard the word but don't keep it, then comes the fowl of the air, then comes the devil to steal that word out of them. Why? It says, unless they should believe and be saved. The word saved comes from the Greek word sozo, which doesn't simply mean salvation, but it also means healing. It also means deliverance. It also means prosperity. So when the enemy draws near, see, you have something of value. He wants to steal. Listen, here's what Jesus said. John 10, verse 10, one of my favorite scriptures to preach on. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. God comes to bring life, blessing, and fruit. So don't blame God when you see the M.O., the motorendus operandi of the devil. He's stealing, he's ripping you off, he's killing things in your life, he's trying to destroy things. Don't blame God for that. We have so much confusion in the world because we see these tragedies. We see these great things that are happening, you know, floods and earthquakes and tornadoes and things like that. God's not the one doing that. The Bible illustrates in the book of Job that Job said, hey, look at this. I just lost my family. I just lost my farm. I just lost my livestock and all these different things. But the Bible says that God said those things were given over to the God of this world, to Satan, that he had power and control over those things. So when you see mass murder and mayhem and you see people losing their lives on a grand scale, that's not God. Jesus declared the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So here in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells us of all the things the enemy is after. One of the things of greatest value to the devil is the seed that God wants to plant in your life. Because if he can steal the seed, he can kill the harvest and he can destroy the fruit. No seed. How many have gardens this year? Anyone? How many noticed that we have a garden too, and you know the thing is, my garden spot, I could go out there and I say, grow, 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 but if I never put a seed in it, nothing shows up. But weeds. No seed, weeds, right? Weeds. And so you have to have a seed if you're going to have a harvest. And Jesus illustrates out of this parable, he says, of all the things the enemy wants out of your life that has the greatest value, it's the thing that can produce life in you. The Bible says, we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you don't have the word, how do you fight? How do you fight if you don't have a sword? How do you stand if you don't have a foundation that is sure and unshakable? By this we know that the foundations of the world were framed by the Word of God, that the things that were not seen were used to create the things that are seen. So the enemy wants the seed because it has great value, and if he can steal the seed, he can kill the harvest and he can destroy the fruit. But in John 15, Jesus said, "I would that you'd bear fruit." Then he says, "more fruit." And in the same chapter, then he says, "much fruit. I would that you'd bear much fruit. And in this is your Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So you were born into a war you didn't start. Not all your trouble is of your own making. And one of the reasons why the enemy is after you is because you have something of great value. You have a seed in you. Aren't you impressed when you plant a garden, one seed, and it produces so much out of one seed? How many love corn on the cob? I just love it, man. It's like, you know, give me that golden bantam, you know, slather it with some butter. And I mean, I'm like a typewriter gone, you know, on steroids. I love to chew it up, man. And it's so impressive. All those kernels and all those pieces of corn came from one seed, because the potential of one seed far exceeds the seed itself. And seeds have an affinity for dirt. You know, after we got done putting in our new septic system, well, I had 1/3 of my lawn tore up. And it wasn't a pleasant looking sight. And I had to look at that for 2 months because I couldn't do anything. Dirt out there in my front yard. I'm going, this is disgusting. So came time that I felt better. And so we put some more topsoil on it. And then I grabbed a 50-pound bag of seeds. And I spread it all over that, and then I raked it in, but then we didn't get any rain. How many know you got to have water on that seed, right? You got to have water on that seed. That's why it's so important that you come into a Holy Ghost meeting where the Spirit of God is moving, because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is like water unto our souls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is a stream. The rivers thereof make glad the city of our God. God is in the midst of our people, and He shall... Oh, come on now. Don't get too excited on me. And we shall not be moved, the Bible says. Hallelujah. You know why we're not moved? Because the Spirit is moving us. And because the Spirit is moving in us, circumstances don't move us. If I don't get a good amen here, I'm going to preach on this point until the cows come home. I said the reason we're not moved by circumstance and emotion is because the Spirit is moving in us. There you go. There you go. And so seeds have an affinity for dirt. If you laid the seed on top of the soil and it never makes it into the dirt, it can't grow. So I knew this. I grew up, I'm a farm boy. I grew up on the farm. I drove John Deere tractor. Glory to God. And so the seed has to get in the dirt. Now, the devil, oh, this is good. This is by the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm-mm. The devil wants to dig up dirt on you. The devil wants to dig up dirt. He wants to dig up dirt on you, but all that can do is help to bury the seed. Hey! The more mud slinging and the more stuff coming your way, it's like, hey, it's just covering up the seed. That seed grows great when it's fertilized. Spread some manure my way if you want, but it's only going to help things to grow. Paul said that I count all things but dung. Just preaching the Bible, friend. I know we got some city people here, obviously. Well, that's disgusting. Well, I don't care if it's disgusting or not. Jesus was born in a stable. How many know there's dirt there? So you were born into a war that you didn't start. Not everything that happens bad in your life is attributed to something that you've done. You have a real enemy, but you have a real big bad daddy. You got a God that beat the devil with an ugly stick on the cross. A few fishermen might be able to appreciate the terminology there. So you have something of value. You are a potential threat to the kingdom of darkness. You say, that's impossible. No, it ain't. You are a potential threat because of what you have in you. You have the seed of God. You have the Word of God. And the Word became flesh. The seed in you became flesh. Your flesh isn't simply your flesh. It's the Word of God in you that became flesh. And the Bible says now Christ walks in you. And if He can uproot and get the seed out of you, then you will lose the life that God has put in you. But I'm of the persuasion that you'd have to have a tow truck, and you'd have to have a crane, and you'd have to have a bulldozer, and you'd have to have a locomotive, and you'd have to have a semi, and you'd have to have all the world's power to try to remove Christ from you. And if you don't want Him to go, He's not going to leave. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age or to the end of the world." Thank God we've got a Savior that's very content. He's very content being surrounded by dirt. He's very content being covered with mud. I know that because on the third day, He said, "Well, you know what? I've been in this thing for a while, and now I'm going to blossom and come up and show you the new fruit, the new wine, the new aviance of what I'm all about." You have a potential threat to the kingdom of darkness because Jesus said it was by the finger of God that He cast the enemy out. You don't even need all your hand. And if you have the Word of God in you, you have the potential, exponentially of producing so much more than simply what you have and simply who you are. Jesus comes to the demoniac of the Gadarenes. And we know this man by the name Legion, which is actually a description of the forces of evil that's within him. And Jesus approaches the man and doesn't have to say anything, and all of a sudden, the powers of hell are shaken. That's that same seed that's in you, that liveth and abideth in you forever, the incorruptible seed and Word of God, the Word becoming flesh in you. And He didn't have to say anything. He didn't say, "I bind you, devil." Because we like doing that. We like going around, "I bind this and I bind that." And you know why Jesus didn't have to say that? Because He walked in total submission and obedience to God, and His very life was binding the enemy. Walking in submission to the Holy Spirit, walking in submission to God, being wholly consecrated to Him, He didn't have to say anything because He was something. My friend, if you walk in that type of sincerity before the Lord, even the devil's going to tremble when you get near. You are a potential threat. You're an HVT, a high-valued target to the kingdom of hell, because he knows more than you know about yourself. He knows more than you can see about yourself. He knows that you have potential within you when you have the Word of God, the seed in you. See, a lot of people in church, they I'm just a nobody from nowhere, Pastor, and I just grew up on a stump somewhere, you know. My family ain't ever been anything. I'm probably not going to amount to too much. My daddy said I'm just po' boy. But that doesn't matter, because the greater one lives within you. By this I know that we overcome the world, because whatsoever is born of faith overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. Greater is he that's in you, the seed, the word, the living word of God. You're a potential threat. Let me go back to the story of the man that we know as Legion. The first thing that the spirits say out of this individual is this: don't cast us out of the region. We open this morning by sharing Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian church about warfare. And what we don't understand is there's nothing insignificant in the Word of God. And there's a reason why that we need to pay attention to this story when it comes in reference to who you are and what you're going through. See, the devils did not want him to cast them out of the region, because that was their place of dominion. That was their place of authority. That's where they ruled. That's where they reigned, through one individual. When the enemy is attacking you, it's not simply to get to you, but it's to get to what you have effect over and the dominion of your position and your region. Pastor, the reason the devil hates this church is because it represents a geographical location in the spirit. There are spirits that want to overtake this region, but you know what? That's why we're under attack, is because we're in a position that God has placed for us of authority. And the enemy's not simply attacking you, and you're not simply going through all hell and bad things simply because it's all about you. No, it's about your position of authority and influence. The Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. How many know rain is a blessing? And because you live where you are, it's a blessing to someone else that doesn't even know Christ. Come on, talk to me now. You are a blessing even if you don't know it, because you are a light post. You're like a lightning rod for the Spirit of God, and He pours things down on you. And how many know that electricity, that you can feel the vibration of it away from the place it strikes? It'll make the hair stand up on your head if you get close enough to where the power is coming down. Hallelujah. There are people that are being affected by you just simply because you walk in the presence of God, have the Word of God in you, and you're like a lightning rod for God. Other people are getting blessed. Other people are wondering, hey, how come the doctor said this is incurable, and all of a sudden I'm cured? They don't even know that they're being blessed because you're there. Your business is still in, the place you work for is still in business because you're there. I mean, in this economy, you know that's right. Right? You are a blessing. You are a high-value target. You are targeted because of your position, your reference in the spiritual world. Does that make sense to you? How many are feeling a little better about what you're going through? How are we doing on time, Pastor? Let me give you a couple more reasons why you might feel as though that you're under attack. Is that your evidence, your life is evidence or a testimony of the truth. A person with the question is at the mercy of a man with the testimony. See, you might not know all the homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological nuances of something that God did in your life, and that's okay. But, and people can say, well, how do you know that God lives? If there's something happening on the inside of me and medical science can't, you know, put their finger on it and brain surgeons can't analyze it and so on and so forth. But I've got an evidence in me. I've got something God is. I know God is alive because He's alive in me. And one of the reasons why is you become a target is your evidence or testimony of the truth. Other people begin to believe when they see you walking through muddied water. And they see your marriage on the rocks, and they see you about bankrupt, but you're holding your head up high, and you're pronouncing the favor of the Lord over your life, and you're just walking through it, and you're going to get to the, and they see you walking through it, and they see you getting to the other side, and they see you giving God all the glory, and they're saying, how can this work? You know, I don't understand. How does this work? You have an evidence. And if you can, if you're in a courtroom and you can make the witness look as though that they are not credible, they can throw the case out. And the world looks at the church and says, give us proof. Is that not right? Well, if God is real, then why is this happening? And why is that happening, right? But if you got the evidence, you're a credible witness that validates the Word of God. Well, I was a drug addict. I was a prostitute. I did have mental disorders and issues. But look at me now. I'm clean, been clean, got a great marriage, got children, got a husband that loves me. Look at the old tracks in my arms. I haven't done drugs in 30 years. You're a credible evidence to witness to the truth. And people can believe it when they see something credible. That's one of the reasons why you're a target, is he wants to discredit you so that you no longer have a witness that's valid. You know, I think so many times we talk about the blessings of God in our services and our messages and stuff like that. We forget that we are in a war. We forget, I can't pay my tithe this week because something came up and it was unexpected. That's a war. That is a battleground. That is the enemy trying to steal your blessing. Because it's more blessed to give than receive. But you can't receive if you haven't given, because you got to have a seed to plant in order to have a harvest to get fruit. You give nothing, you get nothing. And the devil knows that. If we're not living in the last days, then why is so much going wrong? Why? I mean, you can't watch the news, but what you want to... I use what Pastor said. I want to throw up. It's like, man, this is sickening. Some of the things that you see on television. Is it not? It's because, I'm going to say it again, it's a demonic or alien invasion. The devil, knowing that his time is short, is wanting to do as much as he can to the world. And if he can remove the credible witness, you, then he'll run roughshod over the world. But we know, according to 1 Thessalonians, I believe chapter 2, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, it says, only he will now let until he is taken out of the way, meaning the church. So the only thing that's restricting and holding the devil back is you. It's you. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, it's you. It's you. You got an influence. You got an impact. You are somebody special because God loves you and put Himself in you. And God knows that you're a target. But hey, you know what? It doesn't matter because the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the attacks of the enemy. And what's he got to do? Is he going to walk like this? Well, I'm going. No, it says he's going to run away. Is that not what your Bible says? But we know by looking at the temptation of Christ that the Bible says that the enemy departed from him for a season, which literally means that he withdrew himself and looked for a more convenient time that he might come back into the life of Christ. Don't be fooled into thinking, well, we won on that round, and then let your guard down. Because about the time that you drop the gloves, that's when you're going to get a sucker punch. Wow, we did good then. Hallelujah, glory. Wham! Wasn't expecting that. Let me tell you, in 2006, last year, I was not expecting that. I'm telling you, it got so bad. I was sick for a couple months, Pastor. I mean bad sick. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know what was going on. My wife would ask me, she says, what's wrong? Where do you feel sick? I said, and I am not kidding you, friend. It's like, I just feel sick all over. I didn't know everything that was going on, but I'm convinced it was demonic. God showed me it was. Listen, read Job sometime when you're feeling bad about what you're going through, and it'll perk you up. Well, at least I'm not scraping my skin with potsherd. At least I'm not sitting around the campfire throwing ashes over me and, you know, wearing burlap. I tell you what, you know, right there, I stop. Burlap, really? You want to talk about chafing? Man, I tell you what, I mean, give me a good old set of Levi's. Hallelujah. So I didn't know. I had told my wife, I said, if this is living, I don't want to. How many know that you got a Holy Ghost preacher and he says he don't want to anymore? How many know he's feeling pretty bad? But again, I know I'm a target. You know, before I went in the ministry, Pastor, everything was wonderful. It really was. Right, Sister Pastor? It's like everything was wonderful. It's like problems seemed to be so minimal and so small when I was just minding my own business. And God says, I'm going to enlist you. See, I didn't have a choice. I was drafted. I was born into a war I didn't start. Right? And you never knew when you signed up for this thing all of what you were going to get yourself into. I don't know about you, but when I read the travel brochure, it was blue skies, it was clear sailing, there were no rough waters, there was a whole lot of perks and benefits, and I missed the fine print that says, oh, by the way, in this world you shall have tribulation. Good preaching, even if we don't want to hear it, right? So I told my wife, I said, I just don't feel like this is not living, this is existing. And it's not very good at that. I don't want to do this anymore. This is no fun. Have you ever gotten to that point where you say, life is a drag. It's like, this is no fun. I don't want to keep going through. I want to thrive, not simply survive, because that's what I see. You know what happened to me is I saw such a contradiction in the Word of God. I'm going, this doesn't make sense. He calls me blessed, and I'm feeling like I'm under a curse. Well, how many know that even the devil can't curse what God has blessed? Sooner or later, friend, you're going to see the light of day. Trust me. Sooner or later, you're going to get that breakthrough. Sooner or later, that check's going to come in the mail. You stay faithful to God, keep speaking the Word of God, and sooner or later, you're going to see what you've been holding on so long for, because God is faithful to His Word. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, I planted some seeds, and I've told my people the reason my boat hasn't come in is because it requires more than one boat to bring back what I planted. Glory to God. Oh, it might just be it's taken so long because there's a whole boatload and maybe more so of what God is bringing in your direction. Somebody shout a hallelujah. Glory to God. You were born into a war you didn't start. Not all your trouble is of your own making. You are a high value target. You do have something of value. Listen, if the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, a thief that knows what he's doing don't go to a po' boy's house. He goes to somebody's house that's got the stuff. The thief didn't come to your house because you don't have anything. Try it over here. I said, the thief don't try to rip you off if you got nothing. You must have something. You must be going through something because you have something. And God knows that in the end, it's going to be all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. Glory to God. In closing, let me say this. Two more things that I'd like to touch on as far as why you might be a target. Just write this down. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says in verse 8 that if the hedge is broken down, the serpent will bite. You might be a target because access has been granted to the enemy by something that you've done. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you've done something, said something, thought something, watched something, read something, listened to something, been a part of something, you can allow access because the walls are built. Listen, everybody just give me your attention for just a second. This is so cool. God has this conversation with Satan about Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the world, that he escheweth evil and he loves me? And Satan says, yeah, I've considered him, but there ain't a thing I can do about him because you've got him hedged in. The devil says, I can see a wall that I can't get through. So the walls that are built in your life spiritually is something the enemy can see, and it's something that is done through our acts of obedience. And so when the wall comes crumbling down, or when, how many know that you only have to have a crack for a snake, a serpent, a rat, or a mouse? I mean, they can... Rats, bats, and cats. I hate them all. But how many know that you all, those slime, it's like, I especially hate bats. They just look evil to me. I don't know about you. But you only have to have a very small opening for them to get in. Have you ever had a bat in your house? And once he's there, he don't want to leave. And it only requires just a little bit. Jesus said it was the little foxes that spoiled the vine. Just a little bit of something. Just a little tincture of something. How much poison is good? Is a little bit okay? I don't think so. Just a little bit of disobedience. Just a little regard for iniquity. Just a little bit of this. Just a little bit of that. How many know that the drug addict just started off with just toking a little bit of something? Just a little pot, introduction into a greater realm of illumination, so-called. Just a little drink, just a little bit of this, that, or the other thing. And before long, it becomes a whole lot of something. And the Bible says that we have, the access is granted to the serpent to bite you when the wall, when the hedge is broken down. One more scripture as far as why we might be attacked is found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, where it says, because they were kneeling before other gods spiritually. It says, God, this is God's people he's talking about in Deuteronomy 31, just in case you think this is an instance that doesn't involve you. It says, because they were kneeling or bowing before other gods, worshiping other gods, that he allowed many evils and troubles to come upon his people. Wow. So what should we do if we're under attack? For $19.95, you can get a copy of this message or my notes, and I'll tell you. Let's stand, and I'm going to conclude with seven things that you can do, and I'm going to do this very quickly. Seven things you can do when you're under attack. Let's stand. See, I'm talking about something that's very real because of something that I recently went through. And once you get through the fire, and even when you're headed to the other side, you start analyzing and you start asking questions. And it's a great time to learn through your experience so that you don't experience it again. Listen, my life was saved by emergency surgery. But that was the method God used, but I know it was God that was saving me. The devil said, I want him. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you. But I have prayed that your faith will not fail you. And when you're converted, come on somebody, when you're converted, affect your brethren. Minister to them. Some things that you can do when you're under attack, and these are just real simple. Repent if you've put something before God. Our satellite TV just went out 2 weeks ago, and I'm rejoicing. It's like, I love my big screen TV. I mean, no doubt about it. It's like, I enjoy a good movie. Give me a Western. Can I get any witnesses out there? Well, let me tell you. Right? Guns blazing. Come on. I love to see good guys vanquishing bad guys. I mean, it's in my spirit. It's a God thing. But our satellite just started blinking messages, and one TV quit working and the other would work. I'd go into the other one and the other one would quit working and the other one would work. Finally, they just both quit working. And it has been actually wonderful because I spend more time in the Word. I spend more time with my wife. I spend more time with my family. I spend more time in prayer. So repent if you put something before God that would be called an idol in the Bible. Look for unsurrendered areas in your life. Open access doors, I'd call them. How many know that a screen door on a submarine will sink that sucker? Doesn't work, right? And if you have an open access doorway to the enemy, you need to close that. Ask God, God, have I allowed any thoughts in? Have I allowed anything that you would not be pleased with? Doesn't even have to be sinful things, but have I allowed things into my life that just aren't pleasing to you? Have I given access to the enemy? Submit to godly leadership. One of the things I couldn't cover, I'd love to teach sometime, is the fact that when you get to Ephesians chapter 6, the whole previous chapter and chapters have been dealing with submission. 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 Hey, if you work for an employer, submit to them just like you submit unto Christ. Children, submit unto your parents as unto the Lord. Submit spouse one to another. Submit unto Christ. So we need to get to the place where that when I'm a target, I submit to godly leadership because godly leadership will help me get through it. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for your pastors. Thank God for your pastors. Come on, you can do better than that. Thank God for Pastor Tanner and his wife. Godly leadership. Pray in the Spirit as though your life depended upon it. In verse 18, when you get through the armament of the Christian there, it talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Disengage your faculties, friend. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. One of our quickest and fastest and best scriptures we love to quote is Romans 8:28. We know all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes, right? Hallelujah. But do we forget the pretext that says, here's why we know this, because it says when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God will pray through you. And then when we get to verse 28, and we know all things work together. Why? Because we've been praying in the Spirit of God. Right? Pentecostal people say amen. worship God in the midst of the battle. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that when they begin to worship God, God set up ambushments against the enemy. Sixth, capture your thoughts and subject them unto the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every thought. Say every thought. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the mind of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah, glory to God. You have the weapons, you have the warfare. God has allowed you in order to get through this. And finally, I'm going to ask you to turn to this text, Psalms chapter 47. And here's where we'll end. What can I do when I'm under attack? When I have a barrage of things hitting me? When I constantly feel like I'm going through a storm? Where it feels like there's no winning in this war? Listen, the Bible says, thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph. You need to look at life like this. You're not trying to obtain the victory. You're trying to make sure you don't lose it. Because you already have it in Christ. Psalms chapter 47, are you there? Well, now wait for me. Don't get in a hurry. Psalms chapter 47. It says in verse 9, it says, the princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. When you're going through it, you need to stand behind someone that has a shield. In case you think this is an archaic text that refers to something other than modern day warfare, you're wrong. Well, it's talking about princes, preacher. You don't know what you're talking about, really. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 that He has saved us through His blood and He's made us kings and priests. A king is someone that rules with authority. A priest is someone who has access to a dignitary that can speak to the dignitary for the people and to the people from the dignitary. God has allowed us to be kings and priests, and that we are to carry the shield of faith so that when people, listen, here we go. Someone's under attack that you know, you need to go out in front of them and bam! Set your shield in front of them and say, come hell or high water, nothing's going to get to you unless it goes through me. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost there. I said, when you're going through it, you need to get behind somebody that's got a shield. When you look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you'll find in verse 6 that he's listed nothing for the back of the warrior. You have the helmet of salvation. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have the sword of the Spirit. You have the shield of faith. You have your loins girt about with the belt of truth. You have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But Pastor, he doesn't mention anything about the back of the warrior. You know why? Walk in front of me, Pastor. Because I got his back. I got his back. Glory to God. I got his back. I got his back. Come on, somebody. I got his back. When you're going through it, you need to get behind somebody that's got a shield and say, hey, my faith might be wavering, but I know yours ain't. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. Pastor, do you want me to pray for anybody? Or however. Listen, here's what we're going to do. If you feel like you're going through it, I can appreciate that. I really can. And I just want to pray for your encouragement and strengthen your spirit this morning. So if that's you, would you just quickly slip out from where you're at? Oh.